Hello, everyone. Nicholas Lorimer here, the host of The Daily Show, or The Daily Friends Show, rather. I'm not Trevor Noah quite yet. And here we are bringing you today a special about our IMF campaign. So about 2 weeks ago, we did a update, or rather an introduction of the campaign and what we hope to achieve with it. So if you go back and listen to the 11th of June episode, you'll get that that podcast. And today we're just going to do an update to tell you how the campaign is going. So I'm here with Mr. Herman Pretorius. Herman, tell us, how's the campaign going? I see Adam Habib was very upset by it.
Yes, we don't plan to upset people, although not always. We sometimes do. But the reason the reason we run campaigns is because for, you know, close to 100 years, the Institute really has almost perfected the idea of applying pressure to get change. And the point of campaigns is really to apply pressure and to figure out where pressure should be applied to get the necessary change. And sometimes when you apply pressure, you upset people. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's less good. But in this instance with Adam Habib taking issue with our campaign, I don't think it is necessarily a bad thing. He criticized us for essentially going to IMF donor nations, the International Monetary Fund donor nations, where the IMF gets its money from, and then essentially writing to them, their local embassies, and the next step that we could perhaps discuss a bit later on is their UN representatives to the United Nations Human Rights Council. But we essentially are writing to these people and making a few things clear. Firstly, what has gone wrong in South Africa, why it has gone wrong, and what must go right, because we're in a situation where Tito Mboweni and the government have already started negotiating with the IMF about financial support. And we want to make sure that if financial support is given to South Africa, as we hope it will be attached to very specific conditions that can make the ANC get its governing house in order so that the people of South Africa can get a fair deal. So Adam Habib called us, you know, he verged on saying that we were unpatriotic. He might have actually said that. He said we are undermining the government.
Undermining your own government is how he phrased it, I believe.
Yes, yes. And that might be true. I don't personally think we're undermining South Africa. We might be undermining the government, but when all is said and done,
the government is not synonymous with South Africa.
Exactly. The Institute of Race Relations is not there to support the government. It's there to fight for the liberty of South Africans. And as long as we're not undermining South Africans, I'm pretty okay with what we're doing.
And I think that's the central point. Maybe you just want to go over again about why we need these policy changes, even when we're faced with, for example, the crippling budget problems that we saw on the minister's budget speech the other day.
Yeah. As we wrote in the letters to the embassies and the United Nations, we say that, you know, South Africa went into this COVID crisis in an incredibly weak state, where other countries might have the out, as it were, of saying, you know, the coronavirus crisis hit us really hard. We have to be honest and say that we were already hitting ourselves hard heading into this, or at least government policy was clapping South Africans around all over the place for about 10 years before this COVID-19 crisis pitched up and really brutally exposed the weaknesses in the government's approach and policies. So to quote Dobie Root, this coronavirus crisis was a crisis on other crises. And we want to make clear to benefactors of South Africa and creditors of South Africa and potential creditors of South Africa that it wasn't that coronavirus created the crisis. It only exposed the decade of policy lockdown, especially economic policy lockdown, that brought us to this place. Businesses were already weak. Our economy was already weak. Our fiscal situation was already going in the direction of a debt problem. The coronavirus crisis has just, to quote Russell Lamberti, essentially been a trend accelerator. And that is what the world needs to understand. We're not saying don't give South Africans the financial support they need. We are saying give South Africans the financial support they need, but attach the necessary strict conditions to say to the ANC, you got the country into this mess with your policies. We will not be giving you money if you are going to continue those policies. BEE, EWC, NHI, pension grabs, that kind of nonsense.
Because if that stuff continues, of course, it won't make a difference how much money we're given. All of it will go down the drain.
Exactly. It's essentially like, it's a bit of a drug addict situation. The South African government is addicted to bad policy. And the only way to really get them off this addiction is to tell them, we'll look after you, we'll help you, but then you have to kick this habit. These habits that you've been using to kick South Africans.
It's the international finance version of tough love, essentially.
Exactly. So, I do just want to say, I think it is different to the sanctions campaigns that the ANC had in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because we're not saying don't support South Africa. We are saying the government has already started negotiating with the IMF. But let's make sure that the deal they get is actually one that will help South Africans. Give us the assistance, but be very aware of what needs to change.
So where to from here?
I for a moment wondered why you said just, you know, Soweto, and I'm lost. Okay, we can just name places South Africa. But
so where to from here, in case anyone got confused there?
So where to from here? I can't unhear it. So there are a few phases of this campaign. The first phase was writing to the local embassies of IMF donor nations in South Africa. We've already had some positive interactions with these embassies and ambassadors, and we are going to pursue that. It's unfortunately in the nature of, you know, diplomatic relations that this isn't something we want to publicize openly, that, you know, we visited this embassy and we spent time with them and we visited that one and spent time with them. We have to, you know, adhere to some diplomatic protocol here, but we've been in interaction with the local embassies, and It's been positive. We think we are making progress. The next phase is also a bit diplomatic, so we won't go into too much detail there, but we identified IMF donor nations who are currently or are within the foreseeable future to be members of the United Nations Human Rights Council. And we wrote to them and their UN ambassadors saying, you know, this is a matter of human rights. This is a matter of protecting South Africans against assaults on their, you know, basic dignities and human rights. So we have just entered that next phase, engaging with these UN representatives. Next phase is one I'm particularly excited about. We are going to go, we're going to go bigly. Bigly, to quote, you know, one of the great leaders of our time, great in inverted commas, I think the man is a moron heading for electoral defeat, but that's a whole different
topic. Let's not get sidetracked here.
Yes, but we are going to approach international organizations who are, like the IRR, pressure-building organizations in these IMF donor nations that we've contacted them. We are going to ask our partners across the world, from Japan to Australia to United States of America, South Korea, UK, Germany, India, Italy, you know, across the world, to really speak to organizations and people that fill the same role as the IRR, to generate pressure on public officials, on governments, on legislators, to make sure that they know taxpayer money is in the balance here. The IMF doesn't get its money from nations. It gets its money from the taxpayers of nations. So we need to communicate clearly that your taxpayers are going to, you know, be asked to fork over a lot of dosh. And if they are going to do that, they need some assurance that the money will be put to good use to serve the mandate of the International Monetary Fund. So that's the next stage. Let's not look too far in the future, but I'm very excited about this one.
Of course, because a wasted injection of cash from the IMF serves no one's interests. Doesn't serve the IMF's interests, doesn't serve South Africans' interests, doesn't serve the taxpayers of the IMF donor nations. It's pretty much a lose-lose for everyone except those who will benefit from corruption and that sort of thing, which, of course, all of us, I think, don't want to see. So we wouldn't have been able to do any of these campaigns without the support of our friends, the IRR friends who give us small monthly donations. You guys really keep us going, especially in a difficult time such as this, and especially in an environment where corporate South Africa is not really willing to take any controversial positions or stand up to the government. So your support allows us that independence to really go out and do what we think is in the best interests of the country and of South Africans. Herman, what's the best way that someone can help the campaign?
Well, first things first is they can keep an eye out for our social media interactions, where we will be announcing how these correspondence campaigns and interaction campaigns progress. So they can keep an eye out for that. But then it does come to the matter that the world is in enormous flux. Crises bring uncertainty. You know, the dies. I can never remember which one is the plural and the singular, but the Dobbelsteen is busy rolling. So while things are in flux, we can make change. While things are in flux is the best moment to provide pressure, to apply pressure, to get change.
As our CEO, Franz Cronier, always says, crisis is when political change happens.
Yes, and that is especially why I want to echo your gratitude to friends, because we know this is a time of crisis for everyone, but we also appreciate that the friends are with us on this, to know that now is not the time to take the foot off the pedal. Now is the time to apply, you know, the all pressure we possibly can, and that's when change comes. I am hopeful about the country. The short to medium term, I see a lot of difficulties. I see a lot of suffering. But I think there's a longer game here. There's a longer issue. There's a longer battle of ideas. And I think we can win it. I think if we choose our battles, if we choose our friends, our allies, and if we, you know, leave nothing off the table, we can really get this country to where it can be.
Well said. And thanks, everyone, for listening. If you like the show, please rate us on whatever podcast app you're listening to. Please leave us reviews. And if you're listening on the Daily Friend website, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Spotify. I get those two confused. I don't think we're on Stitcher, actually, yet. But anyway, thanks, everyone, for listening. We'd really appreciate your support, and we'll try to keep the flag of liberty flying. Have a great day, everyone.